Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hour number two here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The SPCA Serving Erie County Radiothon presented by Trocare College is coming up tomorrow. Now is your last chance to bid on Buffalo football merchandise, signed Buffalo football merchandise, to help animals at the SPCA. It's courtesy of TSE Buffalo. A portion of the proceeds from these bids will be donated directly to help the animals at the SPCA Serving Erie County. Visit the Radiothon page on WGR550.com to bid. So, we're having a little bit of fun about Bills-Patriots rivalry, a little bit of hatred going on throughout the years. I do love hearing about games that I did not watch, if I was a child or, you know, anything else of the sort. I do like knowing about the history of the games that I was not able to watch or attend. And I think that that's always going to be the fun part of it. I looked up the Hail Mary from the Give It to Him game. Wow, yeah, that's bad. I should not have done that. I should have just took people's word for that. That's actually pretty egregious. That's not great. And that's how you start hatred. That's how you start rivalries, is attitudes like that and bad calls from officiating like that. That's typically not something you want to see. Get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Go to Kevin in Dallas. Kevin, welcome to the Extra Point Show. What you got?
Yeah, so you're talking about the bad Hail Mary game back in, 99? Yep. I've got a good one. I'm a little bit old school here. So this is back in 1981.
All right.
And the Bills were a good team back there. They made the playoffs the year before, lost to the Chargers. Then they were coming up this year, too, struggling to make the playoffs. And I was at the game, and people were filling out. Ferguson drops back to pass. He's back in, like, his 20 or 30-yard line. Throws a pass up to Roland Hooks, who was our backup running back then, made an incredible catch to get him to, like, the 40-yard line. And then the next play, throws a Hail Mary that gets deflected and then caught by Roland Hooks again. And this is the game that gets us pretty much in position to play a wild card game with the Jets, which that game was insane as well. But just crazy. What made it extra fun was that, yeah, we're like the last 30% there, but the guy who always sat next to me, I was there with my dad, my brother, the guy who sat next to us always brought a radio and had Van Miller playing the background.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to Van, he was going crazy. We all were going crazy. It was a lot of fun. It was a great game. But I just looked it up just because I don't want to watch that the Just Give It to Him game.
Yeah, I suggest
aggravated.
You don't.
No, I don't need that anymore. But actually, I watched that game in a bar in New York City, and some guy actually threw a bottle through a TV set. They were so aggravated with that. It was really bad. But this one was great. So anyway, it's on YouTube. I just checked it up during commercial break. The two catches, it's just amazing play. And then if anybody wants to watch an incredible game, the whole game of the Jets wild card game, which is like 3 or 4 weeks later, the last game I ever played at Chase Stadium for the Meadowlands, was just great as well. So a lot of fun with those.
Kevin, appreciate that. Thanks. And of course, also the good memories. You know, like I said, there's not many of them in the recent era. People my age, we don't have many good memories of watching Bills Patriots. There's the perfect playoff game. There is, like I said, probably Sam Adams returning a touchdown on an interception with Lawyer Malloy showing up on the defense. And then there's Fred Jackson. Sealing the game by not getting into the end zone. That's right. He got tackled beforehand. It wasn't that he slid. He didn't make the decision. He gets brought down, and Belichick is just upset that the Bills are not in the end zone, and they can just go ahead and kneel it out and make the field goal and win the game, walk off. There's not many of those memories for my generation and younger. So I'm glad to hear about these sorts of games, both good and bad, because, again, it gives a little bit more of that perspective. It's always fun to have different perspectives. It's always fun to learn more things of highlights, good or bad. I'm going to make sure to look up the 81 game now just so that I can put a little positivity on it. Because, yeah, no, watching that that pass interference call, that's not great. The guy just drops the ball and is being subsequently tackled as he has the football land in his breadbasket and it bounces off of him. Yeah, it's bad. That's not great. So, but I do love the origins of where it gets to. Where does rivalry show up from? Where's hate? Hate for another franchise come from? And there's always plenty of answers for that. Pick a year, really, for your irritation on Bills Patriots with someone my generation or younger. I don't know if I'm able to turn to Joe and Owen about this, of what makes it irritation with the Patriots. I don't know if you guys have many memories with how bad it's been. But because, again, I have to ask you guys this. I don't know if you were both around for the majority of the playoff droughts.
I was 14 when the playoff drought was broken, so most of my life was the drought leading up until when they broke it. Bills Patriots, I don't know. Like Owen and I had a similar conversation about like rivalry wise, like who is it for us? Because
yes,
Tom Brady was just so dominant. I never thought the Bills were ever going to win a game. It wasn't a rivalry. It's how we say, do we call the Bills Dolphins a rivalry? No, because the Bills have majority ownership of their team pretty much under the Josh Allen era, right? Aside from this past year, this one game, and then the heat stroke game. Like, I don't know. I don't look at the Patriots as the rivalry of our childhood. I don't know about you, Owen. Like, what do you think about that? Yes and no, I guess.
They were always the team that you were supposed to hate, but it never felt like a rivalry.
Right.
And I always hated them, but I never felt like, oh, well, but we're going to get them.
That was cultural, like, right. Hate. It was just impressed upon us, the hatred for Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Exactly.
It was impressed upon you because they oppressed the fandom with constantly beating Buffalo.
Pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
I remember when Tom Brady was suspended and Tyrod Taylor, they shut him out.
Yeah.
Like that, I've never seen my family more ecstatic, and I was just like, they played a backup quarterback. Right. Like, what are we doing here?
Cool. This is awesome. Yeah. This feels good, but it doesn't matter.
We won like 16-0, but they got nothing. Mm-hmm. So take that. Yeah, that's pretty much how it was for a lot of that. So, it's something where the hatred's there, but rivalry wasn't the right word. You guys are right about that, of just growing up with it, and it was – so what? It's okay, cool. That's another loss. But always, I will always remember that 31-0 game to open the season where they play dominant football. It is Bledsoe taking on his old team, and they are incredible. And then they end that year losing to the Patriots 31-0. You can't make it up because the direction that the two teams went was so drastically different after the start that the Bills have for that season. And then it ends storybook by coming all the way around.
Yeah.
And you lose by the exact score that you opened the year with against that team.
Well, you see, the issue there is, and I'm going to age Owen and I with this one, that was played in 2003. Right. We were year old.
I was 1 year old.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I've seen the highlights, but that's where that rivalry I feel like was born. The hatred was born. I was like probably 10, 8, 8
I was
to
thinking
10.
About Buzz Lightyear and stuff.
Exactly. I had a spinnable one on my ceiling.
I was a freshman in high school.
Me too.
Did you really?
I swear.
To infinity and beyond, baby. Look at that.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're still making Toy Stories, by the way.
I'm a freshman in high school when that game is happening.
Yeah.
So like obviously, I've gotten into football by that point, but it is like it's one of those like, oh my god, this is awesome! I'm playing ESPN NFL football.
Back when they had competition and actually made good games,
it's
kind of crazy.
That was cool. It was the
introduction to first-person football, as a matter of fact.
Oh, but that didn't last too long.
It didn't last too long, and it should have. The passing mechanics with first-person football were terrible, but it's also proof. Can you be an NFL quarterback? No.
Yeah.
Right.
See, my first Bills jersey was Mario Williams. Like, that's when I really dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that took a while because I remember, they were so bad.
I remember that being big, too. And that was maybe the first thing where I was like, I remember EJ and like that whole thing.
Yeah.
But Mario was an early, like, oh, this is cool.
I wonder, I like the Bills.
The Bills are cool.
Yeah. I wonder what we can get an answer-wise from Paul Hamilton on that sort of thing.
I wonder.
I do wonder. And Paul's coming up in a little bit here. But we'll find that out from Paul. I also have a bone to pick with Paul because Iowa State took over as number one in college basketball after shellacking Purdue. So I might have a bone to pick with Mr. Hamilton on that one.
That's what they called him in college.
That's what they called him in college, but I've got a problem. Sabres winning last night against Edmonton as well. But yeah, no, like it's fun to get the different perspectives from everybody on those sorts of things. I'm more focused on Buzz Lightyear. That was a great quote there, Owen. Yeah, and that's the thing. There's not many good memories for our generations, mine and your guys' alike, of Bills and Patriots, because it was so one-sided for so long. As a matter of fact, it could have turned someone from a younger generation off from football or the Bills entirely for being bad for 17 straight years. And a lot of that was thanks to the Patriots adding to that misery.
Craziest thing was when they did break the drought in their first playoff game, my front tooth is like half fake because I was biting my nails so hard, like just anxious in this terrible game against Jacksonville. As soon as Tyrod Taylor gets knocked out, half my tooth's on the ground, chipped it entirely.
Oof.
That's where that's where I was like bought in. Like,
yes.
Before the Mario Williams stuff, I was younger. Like, yes, I was in middle school at that point. So the conversation was around the Bills and like, oh, their defense is amazing. Where now it's blossomed into this, but there was never a significant hatred for the Patriots for me. It was more my teachers telling us to hate the Patriots on Fridays, you know, whenever they played them.
And a lot of that has to do with the trauma given to them. And as you're being taught, they're dealing with constantly being run over by New England. And that is being brought to the schools. It's being brought to the classrooms or to, you know, sons, daughters, that, yeah, no, this team is evil because they're so good and we are so bad. And it's clearly got to be a correlation, a connection, right? Well, I mean, granted, a lot of the Bills' drought was their own fault. They were not very good at a lot of things. And that's how you end up with a playoff drought for 17 years. I hope that's
hockey team's almost there.
Why'd you have to do that? Why'd you do that, Joe?
Because it's abysmal, and they got an overtime win last night, and I feel no ounce of joy coming from it. So, because yes, they should have won that in regulation, and their last regulation road win was in April of last season. So, I'm going to keep dropping that until they get another one.
And that's fair. But yeah, I hope, though, that this adds a nice little chapter. Both of these teams being relevant in a playoff discussion here, New England being 11-2, Bills at 9-4. Hopefully there's a nice, fun chapter for all parties involved, neutral fans, both fan bases really being able to engage in what is actually to be a rivalry portion of a rivalry at this point. That is probably the big key for me, is if I can get an actual rivalry out of this for a little while, because for the longest time, it was just bullying. It's kind of like what the Bills are doing to the Dolphins most of the time. You get the occasional win, but it's mostly bullying. And now you want that back and forth a little bit. I'm a sicko. That's the other thing. I don't like the pure dominance of a team, mostly because of the fact that it's boring. It gets boring after a while. And I think that that's something that I can really enjoy through this season, is there is a little bit of a chaos factor. It's not 2023's level of chaos to where everyone's miserable, but this season as a whole has had a different degree of it where maybe there is something different this year in terms of it's not that easy. You have to be reminded of that. The Patriots got a win on you. They're 11-2 this year. You're staring back up at the usual enemy that you've had to deal with for 20 years. The Chiefs replaced them, not just in terms of becoming one of the Bills' bigger rivals within this time frame, but entirely in the NFL. I got to ask Paul Hamilton, though. Paul, you got a way to you got a story about Bills Patriots that can make you go, God, I can't stand New England?
Well, when I grew up, it was Miami, not necessarily New England.
Yes, that's right.
The two best New England stories would have been when Sam Adams was running down the field.
Yep.
And they that one, and there was another one, a Hail Mary to Roland Hooks.
Yes, a caller did mention that one, 1981.
Yeah, so those are the two that I would pretty much remember. Plus, you know, games where it looked like the Bills were going to win, and then Leotis McKelvin's are fumbling kickoffs and... you know, that type of thing.
The
so
trauma.
Yeah. So for me, I guess it was more Miami.
Yes.
Not anymore. I mean, that's not a. I mean, there was a time when Ralph Wilson was alive. They were trying to realign the divisions, and Buffalo would have wound up with Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to lose the Miami rivalry. And I said to myself, "What rivalry? It was over by then. Still is."
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a rivalry anymore. And, you know, so it's, I think if they could have gotten in it, like taken the Bengals' place and been in there with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I can just imagine what that would have turned into by now. You know, because anytime the Steelers are here, you get Steeler fans here or, you know, or Browns fans here. And
yep.
Same thing when they go there. And I think that really would have turned into a huge rivalry.
That would have turned into a huge rivalry. Paul, you and I are about to have a huge rivalry if Iowa State bullies Purdue like that again on the basketball court. So,
you're a Purdue fan?
Yes, I am, and unfortunately so. So
I was told, why am I so happy? Because Purdue is way overrated. That's what I was told.
All right.
I don't know.
Let's get to business, Hamilton. All right. So Sabres win last night, and it definitely caused a lot of panic, though, all the way up until the final seconds of regulation. They have a 3-goal lead. They lose said 3-goal lead in the third period, Paul, but they do ultimately get their first road win of this trip.
Yeah, and they still stayed focused. I mean, they're still – I understand what happened in the third period, but there were still some things to – I mean, Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid. And that goal at 10 seconds in, he's scoring on any team on that. He just he got the Jets going and goes in, but he's going to score. And that's what happened. Unfortunately, on the third goal, the goalie – now, I thought that's not goaltender interference because I thought Lyon was in front of the crease. But still, he's not going to get over there. The puck pops out. And sure enough, wouldn't you know, it pops right out to Connor McDavid.
Yeah,
it's like, really? There's an open net, and the puck comes to him. Great. You know, type of a thing. So, but don't forget, too, the Oilers came in the number one power play in the NHL, well over 30%. And Buffalo took 2 third period penalties, killed them both, you know, and didn't give up a goal there. I thought, you know, held off that Edmonton power play that was 0-for-4. So, and they stuck with it too. Despite the goal by McDavid, it's like, okay, you know, and that's one thing I've always said about them. It's like sometimes they get hung up on, oh, what a bad play. Next thing you know, the 3 goals are in, you know, and they didn't do that when Edmonton tied the game. It's okay, let's go right off the face off of overtime. Tuck, I think it was more important than the end was the beginning when he went into the zone, forechecked hard, won the battle, and got Buffalo possession of the puck. And then Buffalo, you know, 33 seconds later, winds up putting it in the net. And I'm sure Ryan McLeod didn't mind setting up Tuck for the play against his old team. It was a nice pass, and Tuck puts it away. So, you know, they didn't sit there and feel sorry for themselves. And there are a lot of things. They went through a lot of adversity in that game, starting right before the opening faceoff.
Mm-hmm.
You already know you've lost Zucker, which is a huge loss. And now after warm-up, you lose Norris, which you were expecting him to play. So now you've lost your best centerman. And then 19 minutes into the game, you've lost your goaltender. And they shook it all off. You know, they didn't let any of that pull them down. And then Thompson scores a goal, and it's disallowed.
Yeah.
So what does he do? Goes out and scores another goal. He didn't sit there and pout about it. It's the second night in a row he lost a goal to a challenge. But he went out and got another one. I'm like, okay, good job. You know, you didn't sit there and pout over it. Whether you like the call, don't like the call, or whatever, you got to move on. I mean, you can't say, well, I hated that call and dwell on it for the next 20 minutes. Hate the call and go score a goal. And that's what he did. And then they got another power play goal before the period was over. So all these things are starting to add up. But yet, you know, they're just keep going. They just keep going. They just keep going. And they didn't let it pull them down to a point where they couldn't overcome it. Plus, they were in a back-to-back situation also, which may be why they might have worn down a little bit in the third period, but they certainly had energy in that overtime, you know, to be able to win the game. It doesn't matter if you give the Western Conference team a point. Who cares?
Right.
If it's a team that's right under you or over you over the standings, then it's not a good thing. But you gave a Western Conference team a point. It doesn't matter. If you walk away with two, that's all that matters. And I think they overcame a lot. I think they played a good game. I thought they were tough around the net. There were a lot of things to like. But you know what it gets back to? A fan now sits there and gets – it's like they're pulling their hair out. It's like, why can't – if you're a fan, you're saying to yourself, why can't I see that more often?
Right.
Why is that few and far between where you can't even get a three-game winning streak going? I mean, they haven't won three games in a row yet this year. And if they played like that a majority of the time, they'd be in the middle of the playoff race. They'd be right in the thick of things, even with the injuries. You know, they show you that they can do that from time to time, including the 5-1 win over Edmonton in Buffalo. And what did they have? A couple of games this year where they popped in, what, 7, 8, 9 goals, you know, and dominated. So you know it's there if you're a fan. But it's like why am I watching a team in last place in the conference, almost in last place in the NHL, when I know they're capable of playing like that? Well, their best players showed up. I mean, when their best players show up, they have – anytime those guys play and contribute like they did – the Sabres have an excellent chance of winning hockey games. But Thompson goes 6 in a row where he has 1 point. Now he's back scoring again. You know, and it's just like you can't have your best players go away for 6 games. And not just Thompson. I don't want to be just picking on him, whether it's Tuck, whether it's Dahlin. No matter, you know, those are your best players. And most nights, they have to be your best players. Most nights, Draisaitl and McDavid are Edmonton's best players. We can go through all the best players throughout the league, the top-notch players, Colorado, Makar, MacKinnon. They are the best players night in and night out. And Buffalo's players are not their best players night in and night out. And that's a huge problem. But I understand where fans are coming from, where you enjoyed the game and you say, nice job. That's a gutty win. But you say to yourself, well,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Why don't I see that more often?
Yeah, it's tough, Paul, and it shows just the degree of inconsistency that this group in particular does have. But last night, like you said, there were a lot of things that you can take away from this that are positive here. Josh Doan is looking to become very solidified as probably their more reliable set of secondary scoring with this club, and especially with what he's been able to do with this power play. As inconsistent as the power play has been, typically it's the likes of Doan and Zucker that have been the ones that have helped try to stabilize it.
And why is that? Because they're around the net.
They're getting to the net.
They're around that. What? How did Doan score two goals last night? Because he's right at the net. You know, and when you're at the net, good things are going to happen. He's on a 27-goal pace right now. And there are a lot of people are like Buffalo. Part of the reason I think some people were criticizing the Peterka trade is they just didn't know who the Sabres got back, because Utah is not a team you see a lot on national TV. So they're like, well, who's Michael Kesselring? Well, I saw Michael Kesselring play for Team USA with Tage Thompson for 10 games and was one of their better defensemen. I really, really liked what I saw in that game and, you know, what I'd seen in the NHL. Now, unfortunately, he's had two injuries that have and you know, really hadn't gotten to his game at all in the 9 games that he played. But and then Josh Doan. And people are like, well, that's a throw-in. No, it's not. And Kevin Adams said that, you know, he was a essential for that trade to be made to be in it. And then Utah's GM confirmed it, said we weren't going to do it. And Kevin Adams said, okay, no trade. And that was the end of it. And he goes, we had to decide, do we want J.J. Peterka bad enough to put Josh Doan into the trade? And they decided that finally they did. They called Kevin Adams back and they made the deal. But Kevin Adams was not going to make the deal without Josh Doan. So he was not a throw-in. And Adams said when they traded for him that they feel there's an offensive upside there. And don't forget, he scored 26 or 27 goals playing in the American Hockey League. So he was able to score at that level. He's only had coming here. He'd only had 1 year in the NHL and got better in the second half of the year. So they were hoping to see an upswing, just like McLeod last year got getting up to 20 goals when he never had even been close. Now he's not close this year. He's kind of fallen back a little bit, but the season's not even half over yet, and there's plenty of time to get going. But, you know, so Doan was an important part of that trade that the Sabres really wanted, or there was not going to be a trade.
Yeah, that it is looking important as a piece right now, and it looks very justifiable too, especially because, like, I would imagine Josh Doan doesn't like a lot of player comps to his father, but you mentioned Doan's on pace for 27 goals. That's pretty much where Shane Doan made his name pretty noteworthy through a long 21-year NHL career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a very consistent player, hard to play against. And is Mr. Coyote, or you might say. I mean,
yeah.
He's the number one Arizona Coyote. Had a long career there, was beloved, and, you know, is kind of the face of what that franchise was before they left.
All right, Paul, little encouraging news. One last thing here before you go. Norris does miss the game, but it does look like it was just illness and soreness. So I'd imagine there will be at least a decent turnaround. If he has to miss one more game, it's only one more game. But it doesn't look like it's anything like an injury scare.
Yeah, you just hope that it's not what he didn't catch what Zucker had.
Right.
And,
oh, God.
You know, turn into a two-week thing where, you know, you don't even get off the couch. So you hopefully, you know, he's feeling better. And who knows if you'll see him against Vancouver or Seattle.
All right, Paul. Well, I'm sure we'll do this again. The Sabres playing against Vancouver on Thursday night, and their climb to try to stay, try to get out of the bottom of the Eastern Conference is going to continue.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
First of all, we'll see if they can ever get to 3 consecutive wins.
Well, it takes. Here's a good number two step to do so. In order to get to 3 games, Paul, you have to win the second one, and hopefully they can do that tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot, and we'll be here to talk about it, Paul. Thanks for joining us here.
No problem. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Westshore Hotline. As the Sabres win their first of the road trip, and if they want to salvage anything positive out of said road trip, getting your first 3-game win streak of the season would also probably be a positive way to do that. 803-0550 is the number to call. as there's plenty to talk about here. We're going into why do you hate the Patriots? What or why is it like anything memorable about the Bills and the Patriots, a rivalry that was very one-sided for a long time on both ends? But my generation, we lived through the worst of that. But we're here still talking about it. We've got another half hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Be ready to take your tailgate or take your game day to the next level. Enter online at WGR550 for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Chopin Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. It's no longer snowing, but it's still out there. Drive safe if you're driving out there. And thanks for hanging out with us here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Don't forget to tune in to WBEN 930 and the Wolf Buffalo tomorrow on Thursday, December 11th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the SPCA Serving Erie County Radiothon. It's presented by Trocare College. Do your part to help raise money for over 12,000 animals being served by the SPCA each year and give them a chance at a healthy, happy life. This year, adoption fees for pets 6 months and older are half off. A big thanks to Picasso's Pizza and Paula's Donuts for fueling our volunteers this year. As we're wrapping up, winding down here on the Extra Point Show today, we had a lot of fun here talking about hatred, memories, everything like that when it comes to the Bills-Patriots rivalry. Thank you to Classic Buffalo Sports Vids for sending me the 81 Hail Mary. First of all, the caller was not kidding when he said the first play before that was an incredible catch by Roland Hooks. Yeah, Ferguson throws a dart. Like, it's an absolute laser, something that we've been accustomed to with Josh Allen. It is a seam laser, and Hooks dives, lays out for that catch. I love watching that stuff. If that kind of catch was made today, it would be on SportsCenter for a month, is simply how I'd put that. But we stay getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Got a couple of other tweets in here. Chuck tweeting in, I don't think the Patriots have suffered long enough. They have to have a few more years of misery heaped upon them. I can't agree more, but unfortunately, that is not what they have been given. Sometimes we do have to look at the reality of the situation. The Patriots are trending upward again. Yes, they deserve to be down in the pits for a little longer after having 20 years of dominance, not just about the Bills, but across the entire National Football League. A team should karmically pay for that. Unfortunately, that's not what this world has given us. And I'm not here to assume that the Patriots are just going to forever be constantly 11-win teams or better this year going forward. But I'm not going to dismiss them, and I'm unfortunately not going to be able to say, yeah, they need to be back in the cellar. It's just not what we're looking at now. That's the reality of the situation, unfortunately. But I do agree, Chuck, they do deserve more of it, but they're not going to give us that opportunity for satisfaction. Steve tweeting in, one of my best memories with New England actually did not occur on the football field. The Buffalo Bills' best fan in football billboard going up in Foxborough may be one of my favorite moments ever. I forgot about the billboard, Steve. I'm not going to lie to you. I forgot about that. I think it was a Fox Sports poll, and the Bills end up with the votes. I remember the one year, now that it's coming back to me, the one year the Titans seemed to have bought votes, like Titans fans were buying votes for that poll. That was interesting. And then the next year, the billboard goes up in Foxborough for the Bills having the best fans in football. Always going to be funny. Always stay that level of petty no matter what. And that's just how it works sometimes. That's the fun in having your rivalry games. That's the fun in embracing the spirit of it. And I'm glad that it's back to a normal rivalry, so to say. The Patriots, they do make the playoffs. The Bills put them down ferociously. And now these two teams are set to make the playoffs again. And that's the thing, is these teams have very rarely shared the spotlight. Back in the 90s when it was the Bills' heyday, the Patriots were not good. To a point where they get first overall pick Drew Bledsoe. That's not a mistake. That's because the Patriots were bad. Bledsoe has a little bit of time. The Bills are competitive along with him. Brady takes over, and then it's hell from there. But these two teams have very rarely shared the spotlight. And that's what makes this interesting. That's what makes it more fun, is being able to share the spotlight, being able to have somebody that you can push along the side, fighting along with each other. So, with that said, it's an important week. It is an important week for the last chance at the AFC title this year. It is a chance for them to stay alive in the AFC East race. Can they get it done? And that's going to be the key here. Can they get it done? You'd like to hope they're able to pull through, stay alive, and you are going to need a little help from a Miami or the Jets. Forget asking the Jets for a favor. That's just not going to happen. But Miami's been playing better. That's not something that can be absolutely dismissed. Could the Ravens help out? Sure, but I don't trust Baltimore, and they don't really have any standing on this either. They can throw in an extra assist, but the Patriots losing to the Ravens is not mandatory in this scenario. It would help. Because if you can cause New England to go 1-3 to end the season, that is an interesting way to see it. It'd be a great, fun, chaotic way to end the season in what has already been a chaotic year, not just for Buffalo, but for everybody around the league. If you have that opportunity to retake the division, very similarly to how it happened with Miami, man, that would feel good. It would feel good. Not going to lie to you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Fred, I see you holding on there. Stay there. We'll come back, take the calls, and wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point show here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The SPCA Serving Erie County Radiothon presented by Trocare College coming up tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. over on our sister station, WBEN 930 and The Wolf 107.7. Now is your last chance to bid on signed Buffalo football merchandise to help the animals at the SPCA. It's courtesy of TSC Buffalo. A portion of the proceeds from these bids would be donated directly to help the animals at the SPCA serving Erie County. Visit the Radiothon page on our website at WGR550.com for your chance to bid. Had a lot of fun today talking about Bills Patriots, getting a little bit of those memories, get the rivalry juices going a little bit here for plenty of people. A couple of tweets came in on this stuff, plenty of calls. And Fred, you hung on through the break. As promised, here you are. Welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got?
Like I was saying before, Ralph Wilson, he bailed out the Patriots and the Oakland Raiders at the before the leagues amalgamated.
Mm-hmm.
The Sullivans, who owned the Patriots, had gambled the team away, and they had no money. And they were the Patriots were bankrupt. And Ralph Wilson realized that if he didn't help them, the league could not survive. Well, you know, it's not a great thing for Ralph Wilson to do.
It is. And, you know, like Ralph Wilson, when it came to it, thanks, Fred. Appreciate the call. Ralph Wilson was one of the champions of the AFL and helping to form the conference as it is as a whole. He's a guy who keeps the rivalry with Miami going because the bad blood's there, and he knows that the rivalry with Miami is so important to the team. We could have been part of the AFC North. Could you imagine that, by the way? Just being part of Pittsburgh and Cleveland, of like just bad football constantly and middling and just like, bleh. Nope, I'm good with that. I'm happy with where they are. I'm happy with where they've landed. I mean, obviously, in a different timeline, we're talking about like Bills Steelers and the rivalry going on there. And I don't know what upside down world that seems like, but there's a Derek Kramer in a different dimension that is talking about Bills Browns for a rivalry game coming up in a couple weeks. But Ralph Wilson was a guy that made sure that the AFL survives, and he was not really keen on losing these rivalries that we have today. So for the bad blood, you know, make sure to point it out. So I appreciate the historical anecdote there, Fred. I appreciate that. And it's been a lot of fun learning about games that I was not around for. Joe, that's a lower bar for you. You haven't been around for more games. but it's still fun to learn about these games, though, that I was not able to watch, or I was young enough that I was thinking about not Buzz Lightyear, but like, you know, the similarity on that, but like something else as a kid. Shut up, I'm running out of steam. But it's still fun to talk about these sorts of things. It's fun to point out that, yes, like it is something that, yes, you're supposed to hate the team that is a rival. The hate's supposed to be there, but it's all supposed to come from a good place. You are supposed to be able to step back, look back on it, and go, okay, yeah, like I remember that. It's always going to be a core memory. Man, I hated that then, but it's funny to laugh at now. Those are the sorts of things that you want to see. Those are the sorts of ways that you want to take how the rivalry goes from there. One of the callers said at the time with the just give it to him game, like a beer bottle went through a television. Like, you know, it's not like, let's try not doing that these days, but, you know, keep that passion there. Keep the passion. And I'm glad that these teams are, at least for this year, good enough that it's going to turn it more intense, hopefully in a more positive way, that you can look back on it and go, okay, yeah, at least New England's there to fight along with. Because unfortunately, over the last 5 years, I kind of got bored. And I know that that's really entitled to say for a team that has zero Super Bowls or AFC Championship game wins in these past 5 years. But yeah, when it has come to the division, I've gotten bored. I'm glad that there's more of a challenge this time around. Because nobody truly believed in Miami when they had that lead in 2023. Nobody believed in them. And then they lost to the Titans. The equivalent would be if the Patriots lose to the Jets. And I don't think that's happening. So that's how that goes. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. And as always, The Extra Point Show, it's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Back tomorrow. Let's have some fun. Stay safe out there. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.